You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay pure online. Today's program may not be suitable for some audiences due to graphic descriptions of sexuality and violence. Listener discretion is advised. All this week, we have been following the stories of three women who used to be involved in the porn industry. Today, they share the stories of what they experienced as porn stars. Behind the promises of money, fame, and glamour is a dark world of abuse, drugs, disease, and coercion. Danielle Williams was introduced to the world of pornography while working as a stripper and a prostitute.
While I was in a club, I think I was 17 going on 18, I was dancing at this club and some porn stars walked in. One young lady came up to me and asked me, you know, have I ever thought about doing porn? And my initial response was, heck no, never. I never thought about doing porn because I had it. You know, I seen it, I watched it, but I never thought about getting involved in it. But she said something that changed my whole life. She said, if you think you're making money now, you haven't seen nothing yet. And that triggered something because the whole point of the dancing and the prostitution was to make money. So anything that I could do to make more money, I was willing to do.
Jan Villarubia also did not begin in pornography, but working for an escort service.
By the age of 19, we already had two kids, and we were living on our own in our own apartment. We were definitely not making it. I mean, we were about to be evicted. He couldn't keep a job to save his life. It was just crazy. I mean, I was working. I wanted to go back to school, but I couldn't. And I just became so tired that I started looking through the Yellow Pages. There was a whole big middle section just dedicated to escort services. And it never had really crossed my mind to do that before. But we were just so desperate. I was so desperate. But as soon as I went to go meet the madam, she wanted me to start working that night. She was so excited about the fact that I had red hair and freckles and I looked so young that she could actually play me off as even younger than I really was, which is really sick and twisted. So I went to go do my first job that night, and I was paralyzed. I mean, the whole time I just thought, okay, you need to do this. You need to provide for your family. You know, this is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I was sitting there just convincing myself that what I was doing was okay. There's no words to really describe how you feel after something like that, knowing that what you just did, you just gave yourself away for money. But in that moment, I was thrilled because I knew I had $300 and I was going to be able to feed my family, that we were going to be able to pay another bill, that I was going to be able to buy baby food and diapers and formula. And my husband didn't care because I was bringing in really good money. I stayed off and on in the escort business between regular jobs. I worked as a certified nursing assistant. Obviously, my first husband and I had a really rocky relationship. We were separated 6 times during the course of 8 years. We were together for a total of 10, but it was just enough was enough. And we actually got into a huge fight when I decided that I wasn't going to do escorting anymore because he didn't want to work, but I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't look myself in the mirror anymore. And I vowed that I would never do anything like that again. In 2004, I divorced my husband, my children's father, because he was cheating on me, a bunch of things were going on, and I was working regularly. I had my own place. I had my kids with me because I had full custody of them. But again, come 2006, I'm in the same situation. I'm not making good money. I'm not getting by. I started searching for other options, other answers, and that's when I went to Craigslist in the adult section and started looking for modeling jobs. I figured, okay, you know, I won't do anything crazy. I can just do some modeling, and that'll be the end of it. But it wasn't. I found an ad for BBWs, and I didn't know what that was at the time, but I started researching it and found out that it stood for Big Beautiful Model. Because I was plus size, it was my niche. And so I answered an ad, and immediately after posting a profile, I had like 20, 30 calls that night for just the craziest things you can think of. I mean, people, there are a lot of sick and twisted people out there that need help with really bad sex addictions. And I mean, I actually hung up on some people because that's how demented like the requests were. But that's what led me into the porn industry.
Jenny Case was also introduced to pornography when she was working as a stripper and a prostitute. She told me about her very first job as a porn star.
As soon as I turned 18, I just get into the sex industry, and that means everything and anything that has to do with sex for money and stripping and prostitution. But, of course, a lot of women in the porn industry are prostitutes, and they do it all. So it's what you do on your downtime is prostitution. But I started doing porn when I was barely 18. I remember just someone telling me I should do it, that they thought I'd be good at it, and they had me contact an agent that they knew. And I contacted the agent, and he got me started. He actually forged an AIDS test and took me to a hotel room where there was some people from California shooting a porn scene, and I did my first porn scene, and I had never been tested for AIDS in my life, and I was told to act like I had done this before, even though I had never done that before. And I remember feeling really, really bad for one of the women there that was working. She wasn't able to work because she was sick, and I asked what was wrong with her, and they basically were telling me, like, her inside was just like it was rotting away, basically. When you don't have any money, the porn industry makes it look like there's going to be a lot of fame and glamour and money and attention, and you buy that lie and you get hooked into it.
Fame, glamour, money. Danielle Williams got a taste of that when she was involved in pornography. But underneath it all, she told me, was a world of disease and drug addiction.
Well, at first, getting involved in anything, you know, it's the glitz and the glamour at first. The lifestyle is what triggered me. You know, you get the celebrity treatment. You're connected to mainstream celebrities. You get to travel and meet all these people. But every bad thing must come to an end. And I guess after the fascination of me being this, you know, this porn star, getting this attention, I started noticing things like STDs and drug abuse. Everybody that I've ever worked with was on drugs. Including myself, like my drug consumption just increased because it changed. Like stripping and prostitution is bad. It's horrible. You should never do it. But when I got into the porn industry, it really, really changed some things. And it really, you know, opened up my eyes to a whole different lifestyle, and things became worse for me. In order for me to do that, I had to be super, super high. I could never be sober. I always had to be drunk or high. Being on set for 12 hours, 14 hours, just having sex. You know, it was just so much.
Jan also shared with me some of the common experiences of women in the porn industry.
I did porn for about a year and a half. And I actually found out after getting out of it that the average lifespan of a porn starlet is between 2 and 5 years. Because of the abuse, because of the degradation, because of everything that happens behind the scenes and on the porn sets. No girls really last too long. You know, I mean, if you're talking about like non-contract girls who don't have the big, really big contracts with the bigger agencies, I mean, because you get used, you get chewed up and spit out, and they don't care about you. You're just a piece of meat that they can replace so easily. I suffered a lot at the hands of pornographers. You had to accept it. You had to make it seem like you liked it, because if you didn't, then you didn't get paid. And they coerce you a lot. I mean, with drugs, with alcohol, they keep you addicted to things. They want you addicted to things so that you'll do what they request of you. I mean, that's how they work. If you say, no, I don't want to do this scene, then they either threaten you, or, you know, if you're not going to work again, you won't work for me, I'm not going to pay you, this type of thing. You know, I'll make sure that your life is destroyed, basically, is what they put on these girls, what they tell these girls. And if you're in a desperate situation where you need to make money, then you're going to do what they say.
According to the women I spoke with, coercion and manipulation are commonplace. Along this line, Jenny shared with me one of her worst experiences doing porn.
Everyone knows about Max Hardcore. I had done a scene with Max Hardcore in Las Vegas, and I explained to everyone that I don't have anal sex, and that's not what I do, and told my agent that. He knew that, and then we got to the hotel room, and Max Hardcore told me, this is what I do, and if you don't do it, you're not going to get paid. I'll just get someone else to do it. Well, you're not going to get paid. You know, my agent looked at me, because if I didn't get paid, he didn't get paid. So
very intimidating, and I was coerced into doing something I didn't want to do. I was young, and I didn't know any better, and I was very humiliated and degraded at the time, and that was probably one of the worst times I ever had doing porn.
Jan also shared with me how she was repeatedly manipulated and abused.
I made about 50 movies, and I had my own website. The thing is that if you did a search on my former name, I mean, just pages and pages and pages, it's crazy. You can't get that stuff off. I mean, because they duplicate it, you're just out there. Once you get into porn and once you sign that contract or you sign that waiver, they can do anything that they want with your voice, with your face, with your body. I got into a deal with this husband and wife team who promised me dreams of grandeur, you know, oh, you're going to be able to leave, you know, normal porn behind, and you're going to be your own boss, and you're going to have it so easy. And it was anything but. He wanted to have sex with me constantly on the side. His wife didn't know that he was having sex with these girls on the side. And I don't know if it was truly that she didn't know or she didn't care. But he started to use that as a tool to get more scenes out of you. You know, he was like, okay, well, you have your website and you're making money, but I'm controlling your check. So either you're going to do this with me or you're not going to get paid, and I'm going to own your website anyway, and I'll just do whatever I want with it, basically. So it became very torturous, very much pimp prostitute.
Danielle finally decided to leave the sex industry after one terrible experience with one of her escort clients. For 3 weeks, this man kept her trapped in his basement, repeatedly raping her and threatening to kill her.
It was a lot that was going on in that industry. I was mentally just losing myself, emotionally losing myself, you know, and I accepted that. I accepted that I'm going to be a prostitute. I'm going to be a stripper or a porn star for the rest of my life until I had made a trip to New York. Because of the porn and the stripping, I got a chance to travel a whole lot, and I ended up going to New York. And long story short, I ended up with a man who literally tried to take my life. I was in a situation where I knew that I wasn't going to make it out of there alive. And because I had always went to church, I was the biggest hypocrite walking, because I went to church, you know, and I praised and I worshiped and I cried and, you know, I really listened to the word and everything like that. But when I left, I went right back into that lifestyle. I did have a prayer life. And while I was in that basement, something in me said pray, you know, and I prayed like I never prayed before. And I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll change my life for you. Just don't let me die. You can have the porn, the stripper. I'm done. Like, just don't let this man, you know, don't let my life end like this. Like, this can't be over. I was 19 years old. I just turned 19 years old. And I was just like, just God help me. And end up getting out of that situation. And when I returned back to Los Angeles, that was it for me. Like, just cold turkey. That was it.
Jenny was also driven to desperation and prayer after she left the porn industry. After a brief time in Los Angeles, contracting many STDs, Jenny moved back to Colorado and continued working as a prostitute. Before long, she also hit a breaking point.
It's not that easy to quit, and I ended up using my porn experience to sell myself. When I was in Colorado, I did prostitution, and I used the fact that I did porn to help advertise my business. That's when things got really, really dark. Before it got better, it got really, really bad. Long story short, I ended up with a boyfriend, another customer, who is a meth addict and an alcoholic, and I was losing the place I was living in. I was going to be homeless, and just things got really, really dark, and I decided to myself, I'd rather be homeless than ever sell my body again. It just wasn't an option anymore. It got so bad, I decided I had to quit. I remember, like, just laying in bed crying, and I felt like I was dead inside and empty. Just, I prayed to God. I called out to God, like, every night for, like, 2 weeks.
Jan also reached her breaking point shortly after one of her most traumatic experiences in the industry.
I had just come to a point of desperation because of everything that had happened behind the scenes. One of the most traumatic moments for me in the porn industry was when I did a gangbang movie with 25 guys. The producer promised me and swore up and down that it wasn't actually going to be 25 guys. You know, it was just going to make it look like that, that everybody was going to respect me, which is a big joke. Nobody gets respected in the porn industry. I mean, they call you all kinds of names on set, and then afterwards they pat you in the back and, you know, good job, you know, we didn't really mean it type of thing. But when I got to the scene, he was like, I want you to also do anal in this scene, which is something that I didn't agree on prior to. And then he's like, well, we'll chalk on like an extra $1,000 for you if you just do it. And he was like, do you need some painkillers? Do you need something to drink? I drank heavily, extremely heavily before, which is another joke in the porn industry because they always videotape you before and make you say that you're not under the influence of any drugs or alcohol, that you're doing this on your own accord and just for their legal purposes. Most of the girls I know that have ever done anything on a porn set have always been high some way or another, either through painkillers or alcohol. But I drank heavily. I smoked some pot when I got there. I took some painkillers, and I wasn't even there. And when he told me about the anal and everything like that, he had brought some enemas, so he made me clean myself out even more. I was completely dehydrated, and I was completely just gone. I was a zombie. And I went downstairs, and I did the scene. And afterwards, I was sitting there covered in semen, and I wasn't really even there. I just wanted to go wash and then just go to sleep. And all these guys are coming up to me wanting to take pictures with me. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, these guys are supposed to be guys that have already been in the industry. They supposedly work in other porn shoots and all this other stuff. Why are these guys wanting to take pictures with me? I come to find out through one of the guys who said he was like my biggest fan that he had answered an ad in an LA newspaper to come do a porn shoot. And I was reassured that all of these guys had been thoroughly tested and everything and that they were all pros. You know, no one was new to this type of thing, but that wasn't the case either. So now I'm sitting here getting scared to death, thinking, what happened? Like, did I just contract some major disease that I'm going to have to live with the rest of my life? I mean, these people are fans. I was devastated. I was traumatized. For 2 weeks after that, I wouldn't answer the phone from any producers. I wouldn't answer the phone from any agents. I didn't eat. I couldn't drink right. I couldn't go to the bathroom right. I was just so far gone. I mean, I was so far gone. I thought that this was what my life was going to be. This was the only thing that I could do to provide for myself, to provide for my children, to make sure that we had stability. I felt like a lost cause, like it didn't matter if I lived or died or whatever. But until then, until God took me, I was just going to keep providing for my family.
Hearing their stories, I was reminded of the words of clinical researcher Melissa Farley, who said pornography is essentially prostitution. Having a camera in the room does not change the nature of the act. And as such, the world of pornography is wrapped in the same evils found in other forms of sexual exploitation. Danielle Williams summarized well my impressions.
Everybody that I've ever talked to, that I had a conversation with, that was in the industry, was all dysfunctional. Like, they all came from a dysfunctional background. Either the girls had been molested, or they were in the foster system, or they had a pimp that forced them to get involved in it or something. Like, everybody had some type of story. And then one day I looked back, and we went to a porn convention. I saw all these people, you know, all these guys and all these girls who came and was excited to meet these porn stars, and they just loved it, and they just was having the time of their lives. And I just sat there, and I just looked at all these people, and I said, I wonder if they would feel like us if they knew what we really felt about what we were doing. You know, if they really knew what happened behind the scenes, would they really, really be interested in us the way that they are? You know, even porn stars, when I hear them talk now and they say, oh, I love being a porn star. I love being a stripper. I love what I'm doing. And my question to that is, if you really, really love what you're doing, then why do we have to poison ourselves just to be able to do a scene? Every girl that I know that did a movie was in the bathroom sniffing some type of cocaine or smoking something, or, you know what I'm saying, popping some type of pill. If it's so great, why do you have to impair yourself just to be able to do it?
You have been listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. In our next episode, we will hear from Jan, Danielle, and Jenny again about how God answered their prayers and how they got out of the industry. Listen to more episodes of Covenant Eyes Radio on iTunes or on the Covenant Eyes blog at CovenantEyes.com/blog.